It's the MMA Insider. MMA Insider. The inside scoop and hardcore fight talk from the experts. Now, here's your hosts, Steve Cofield and Adam Hill.
Brett Okamoto here as well from ESPN.com. All right, picks up in about 5 minutes. UFC 209 is here in town. Let's get some on-the-ground updates. First of all, you guys hear any sort of trending on ticket sales? You know, T-Mobile's an interesting venue for the UFC because for the mega cards, it's great. The gates are gigantic. It's a big arena. Like, you remember, there'd be times at the MGM, their old big venue for their events, where, you know, they'd sell 11,000 tickets in a place that maxed out at like 15,700. So what are you hearing about this one in terms of buzz?
I was actually just looking at the T-Mobile website for tickets. There's tickets available all over the arena, so that's, you know, one sign that it's probably not doing great at the box office. And I actually was talking to some people today that this is just one of those cards. I think they've had a lot of trouble selling tickets in Vegas anyway. This is definitely one of the cards that doesn't appeal much to the average fan.
So terrible.
This is an MMA hardcore card. There's no doubt about that.
So terrible, because the top two fights are going to be great fights.
Insane.
Something's going to happen. Either it's going to be just a slobber knocker for five rounds, or some spectacular finish, or someone's getting beat down.
Well, and then in order to sell this card, the most obvious way to do it is to say that the winner is going to fight Conor McGregor. That's the clearest way to sell this card, to say, come and watch this fight because this guy's going to fight Conor McGregor. But because of what's going on with Conor and the Floyd situation and the fact that most people, they probably should have just done that anyway, though. They probably just should have built it up. And now they kind of are. And I think like within the last 5 days, they're like, oh, we better do something. Yeah. And so Dana's going, like, yeah, he'll likely, I think it was to TMZ, what, over the weekend? He was TMZ got him. He's like, oh, the winner of this fight will likely face Conor. And that's about as far as he's gone.
But they probably just don't believe that's the case.
No,
but what does it matter? They say that all the time, and they're like, yeah, things change.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, it's easy for them to say that. They're perfectly justifiable in saying it, even if it's a lie. They say, hey, this is an interim title. Conor is a lightweight champion. So come see who's going to fight Conor next. And even if it's not true, that's what they should have been selling it as. And I really haven't heard that narrative from them much at all.
No. And again, you know, I think you look at it, and they're at a point where, you know, we talked about it earlier about it's WME and everything that goes into that as far as selling the entertainment aspect and selling the matchups that are going to make sense from a financial perspective. You've got GSP back now. You've got, you know, Ronda Rousey. You've got Conor McGregor as the big names. And when it gets past that, then it becomes, you know, it's how do we sell this fight? I think there's a lot of things to figure out. But people, like, especially in Las Vegas, an event town, we've always talked about that. Like, you need that big hook. This card doesn't really have that big hook. You're right. It would have been, hey, winner fights Conor. That would have been a good way to go, but they didn't.
This is almost another example of, though, why WME should get a better relationship going with Conor. Because if they were in cahoots, right, and they were on the same page, how valuable would a Conor McGregor tweet be to be like, you know, whatever it is, talk bad about the two guys, acknowledge the fight. I mean, but if you look at Conor McGregor's Twitter feed, you have no idea that this fight is even happening. So,
are you saying they don't have a relationship? They're not really working together right now at all?
It doesn't seem so from the outside. It seems like all it is constant Conor saying they need to come to me. I want to sit down and have a business meeting with them. Dana White responding, Conor has my phone number. He knows how to get a hold of me. Conor comes to Vegas and tweets a photo of him hanging out with Lorenzo Fertitta, but not Dana White. Just get on the same page with your star.
This is also boxing.
It is very boxing.
Right? What do I say all the time, Adam? Dana White, tore up the blueprint. We're never going to do what they do. You sort of do it.
Yeah. And
from
part
time to time.
Part of that is because they're dealing with a star that just skyrocketed, you know, more than they even thought he was going to. So now you're dealing with it. But another part is just sort of hanging on to those sort of old ideas when you don't got an old idea fighter anymore.
Right.
You have something
completely
different.
We have control. No, you don't. And he's not afraid of you. I'm going to try to liven up the main event by bringing out the personality of Stephen Thompson. Can I do that?
Sure. I mean, you can try.
On the embedded videos, which they're very good. You can pick up some stuff on the embedded. He's in South Carolina. He said, right now I can't eat pizza, but when the fight's over, even if I have to go 30 miles, I'm getting a slice of pizza. I love pizza. So the first thing I thought of was, he doesn't have to go 30 miles. There is good pizza here, right?
Of course.
Brett hesitated for a second.
Yeah.
Ooh, oh, snobby Denver guy on pizza. Go figure.
Actually, yeah. Actually talked to his people today and gave them the recommendations.
Did you really? Multiple spots or one?
Just one.
Really?
Yeah.
You are a
devotee. You know the spot.
Yeah.
It's great.
You're not that high on that joint, apparently.
I'm not as high as Adam is.
Oh boy.
When Adam gets high on something, he gets really high.
You know, and I don't want to say anything bad. I like the place, but Adam, you know, and that's Adam. I would say the best pizza actually in Vegas as of right now. My number one would be Pizza Rock.
Oh gosh.
Adam loves Naked City Pizza. Pizza Rock is very good, especially at Green Valley. Great spot! Home of Monday Night Football for us. Secret Meatball Pizza, sucks. You were mentioning Secret Pizza earlier.
No, you're not. I mean,
brought to you by not Secret Pizza.
You did not include that in any
discussion. He did. Grimaldi's.
Oh, yeah, Grimaldi's is good.
That's fine.
More than solid, correct?
Yeah.
A guy from South Carolina is not going to be snobby about Vegas pizza.
I would hope not. You wouldn't think so. But listen, we'll see what he does. I mean, that's only he's got to win first too. And he told me that he said it a couple times in interviews, but he said he ate that slice of pizza like as slow as he's ever eaten anything.
Yeah,
because he just wanted to enjoy it. It was like the one treat he got during his camp, and he said he really savored it, the one that he got to have.
More impressed with in the main event, in terms of what you saw in Embedded, Stephen Thompson playing frisbee golf, like really being into it, or. I just mentioned this before you came in, Adam. Tyron Woodley's kids just annihilating these little suckers in the Midwest.
Those kids were so overmatched.
Little guy wrestling.
They had no shot. It was great.
Frisbee golf? He was, like, really into it. I didn't realize there's three different frisbees, like, long distance, like a heavier one to putt. Like,
oh, yeah, you didn't know that?
Brett, I did not know
that. You got to get with
your... Not at all.
The frisbee golf, I feel like it came in on a tidal wave of popularity about 4 years ago. And now I feel like it's kind of... It's almost like you could relate it to MMA, actually. Hit its peak. Now it's kind of, you know, it has its ups and downs a little bit.
I will defend MMA on that one. I don't think you can.
Well, I just remember that it felt like everybody was doing frisbee golf there for
Adam,
a second.
Did you do it?
No, definitely not.
I think you're now projecting. You're like, it was unbelievable, the wave. You're like, I loved it.
I never played. It was always something I felt like I'd be good at, but I never did it. I never actually did it.
It was like the hacky sack phenomenon of like the late 90s.
That's fair comparison.
Yeah.
Not for Thompson. He's
very hipster.
He's stuck in the 4 years ago.
I'll throw another thing into the mix of what happened this week of things that were impressive between... Nurmagomedov's fascination with magic and romantic comedies, I don't think you can go wrong with talking about this fight. It's amazing. He did a breakdown of some romantic comedies that was hilarious. You can go find that video. But also, there was a magician. I don't know how many people saw this, but on the Embedded series where they were kind of doing tricks for the fighters as they arrived, and Nurmagomedov, zero interest. He doesn't believe in magic. And after a trick that was really impressive, he's like, I don't believe this real.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's not real. It's magic. Like, it's not a real thing.
Right, we've got 3 minutes to cover five fights and give out some winners here. Locks! Here they come. I'm going to mention this fight just because I think he's really entertaining, and I actually think he has a chance to be in a title mix in a few years if he fights smart. Do you guys like Lando Panetta?
Yeah.
Really entertaining guy, and he should have beat... You guys are saying he is. Tony Ferguson, first or second best 155er. Lando Panetta had him beat. That's how good he is, but he's a giant favorite. He's minus 400 against something called David Tamer. Is there a chance? It's disrespectful. David Tamer is a professional MMA fighter, so he's a dog at plus 300. Is there a chance Rashad Evans, like, this is it? Like, he can't win this fight at minus 225 against Daniel Kelly at middleweight?
Everything lines up for Rashad to win, and I think that that's why he was given this fight, but I wouldn't put him on any parlays. You know, the guy's cutting a lot of weight, and his chin seems a bit compromised. He couldn't even get medically cleared the last two times he was supposed to fight. So I'm a big Rashad fan. I've covered, you know, his career for a very long time. His career has actually lasted longer, goes back further than my career even started covering the sport. And I've really enjoyed covering his career, so I don't want to say anything bad about the guy, but I would not bet any money on him this weekend.
Yeah, especially with the weight cut and everything else that's been going on. I think it's tough, and, you know, Kelly is a guy, every fight he goes in, and you're like, oh, this guy's going to get destroyed. And then every fight he wins, it's amazing. I think he's 5-1 in his UFC run, and he's been underestimated every single time, so I wouldn't make that mistake again.
If Rashad runs out of gas because of a bad weight cut, Daniel Kelly could pop him on the chin.
Yeah, or just throw him around.
I'm taking Mark Hunt plus 115 against Alistair Overeem. Am I crazy?
You're crazy to bet on this fight, I think, because it's heavyweight MMA. Alistair Overeem was on my podcast the other day, and I asked him about some comment he made on his documentary that every heavyweight fight at the top is 50-50. It's just nothing more than a coin toss. And I was like, do you really mean that? Like, you put forth a lot of money and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into a training camp, and then you go in just knowing that it just could go wrong, you know, right, at any moment. And, of course, that's MMA in general, but at right, the heavyweight level, obviously, it's more so. And he's like, yeah, at the very top, we're all human beings. There's not that much of a difference. We're all bought in. We've all got our coaches. We've all got our nutritionists. We're all fighting, you know, as hard as we can, and there's just not that big of a difference between all of us. So I wouldn't bet on heavyweight MMA.
Did he look small to you when he did your podcast?
Yeah, a little bit.
I was
saying next weighing to him, at like 235.
He seems to be losing consistently weight, like every time he fights. At least, like, maybe in my head.
Funny how that happens.
Weird that 3 years ago, when other stuff was going on, he was actually cutting to get under 265. All right, real quick on the co-mains, I think this is a steal. I'm taking Khabib. You can get him at like 190 against Ferguson. I love Ferguson, but I think he's too sloppy, too reckless. I think he'll get trucked and taken down and just brutalized on the ground.
I'm going to take Ferguson. I'm taking Ferguson to plus money, and I would actually encourage people to do that. If I'm wrong, I might be real wrong. I mean, Khabib might just take him down and destroy him, but I have a feeling that Ferguson does all these weird things where he's doing barrel rolls once somebody gets a hold of him, and he's cardio for days. Khabib has never been in a five-round fight. I just think I think Tony's a little bit crazier than Khabib, and I want to take the crazy guy.
I mean, I'm not even going to get into the reasons. Everybody knows my obsession with Nurmagomedov.
Yeah,
I'm taking
biased
him again. But I know almost everybody I talk to around the sport thinks Ferguson's going to win. I'm surprised by that, but I'll take Nurmagomedov.
I managed time poorly. We have 25 seconds, but I'm going to roll with Woodley. I think Woodley will mix in a lot more takedowns and screw Thompson up on the feet. So, but you know, screw up his ability to throw kicks and punches.
I'll take Woodley too, especially plus money.
I actually like Woodley, but I picked Thompson the first time, so I have to pick him again, I guess. So I'll take Thompson.
Thompson minus 160, Woodley back at plus 130.
I picked Thompson in the first one. I'm picking Woodley this time.
Archives up at lvsportsnetwork.com. We'll be back next week, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.